The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Ariza trying to find some room. Curry falls down and grabs his right leg. Curry asking for help to get up. He fell awkwardly and immediately grabbed his right leg, and you see him hobbling right now. Ariza deflects it, but right to Festus Ezeli. Livingston up Thompson. Thompson for three. Here's Livingston racing down the floor. Back out. Klay Thompson for three. Got it. Barnes catch and shoot. Thompson's pass deflected. Livingston right there. Cross court. Back to Thompson. Nails another three. Space fires a perfect pass down to Draymond Green. And the Warriors will take a 3-1 lead in this best of seven series. But again, the key question, how badly did Steph Curry sprain that knee?
Our defense let us down. Our willingness to scrap let us down. I think, you know, James was doing, you know, was aggressive. Again, they're going to put a crowd on him. You know, there's no doubt about that. But you know, this was all about our defense and, you know, our failure to win any of those little battles that we talked about.
I just got to do whatever it takes to win. You know, I should have went harder to the glass. I should have, you know, set more screens, get guys more shots. But I'm not going to say that I should have got the ball more. The only way we can overcome it is if we believe in each other, and we don't quit on each other. You know, that's the only way. It's easier said than done. But in order for us to beat this team, we got to put aside anything, any egos, any pride, and play for each other. I mean, if we don't go in with the mindset that we're going to win the game, then why should we play?
So the Rockets are about to be put out of our misery. Heck, the Astros might follow them. At least we got Game of Thrones and the draft and, yeah, footballs. A whole lot more to Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and we're actually in studio today, so we can take some phone calls. And I'm sure you guys are going to want to weigh in on one of the many topics, the myriad of topics that are out there. I'm sure we'll have something we can talk about. I'm just glad I'm actually here today.
Yeah, you weren't going to be here. Everything seems to be worked out.
Yeah, apparently. You want to talk about a weekend going from being a lot of fun and really awesome to really awful in like 30 seconds? We were out yesterday, decided to bike around and, you know, do our bike around to various parts of town and have a few beers. So we got stranded over in Montrose by the rain, and we kept trying to leave, and of course the rain never went away, so we kept drinking. But we're heading back, and all of a sudden the wife just doubles over and starts screaming, call 911. I'm like, what, did somebody shoot you? Or what? And I look over, and she's got like this softball-sized thing poking out of her side.
Oh.
And so I call the, you know, call 911. The paramedics come and get her, take her to the hospital. They thought it was a hernia at first, and so they were going to operate right away. And then they decided that it was a bruise, but they couldn't get it to stop bleeding. So she spent the night in the hospital. We had no idea what was going on. They still don't know what it is, but she's finally home and sleeping now. So as they say, she's resting comfortably.
Oh, well, that's good.
But
there's no softball in her anymore?
I'll tell you what. That thing, by the time I got to the hospital, which is another story in and of itself, that thing looked like Quato from Total Recall. I mean, it was gross. I thought it was going to start talking. And I was like, oh, man, I've got to get away from this chick. She's possessed. But it's still pretty bad. But, you know, they say they did CAT scans and everything, and so they couldn't find anything. So just keep an eye on it. And as long as it doesn't get bigger, she can stay home and she can go back to work tomorrow. But it was scary. Just out of nowhere. It didn't even start hurting or anything. It just happened. So, and of course, I'm trying to get home carrying two bikes in the rain.
She couldn't even ride her bike home?
She couldn't walk.
Did you get on to her for being lazy?
Well, I was trying to text everybody I knew with a truck within 5 miles to try to come get me. But by then it was raining so hard that my phone had water had gotten inside my OtterBox of the phone. So everything I'm texting is coming out as gibberish.
Gotcha.
And so it took me forever to finally get somebody. And by then I get home, I'm soaked. And so it was about an hour and a half from the time they picked her up before I actually got to the hospital. And I should have just put the bike somewhere and left them and gone and got them today. But
yeah,
I wasn't thinking. I'd had a little bit to drink. So anyway, hopefully it's all going to be fine. But she's home now. And that's up until about 1 o'clock today, I wasn't sure that I was even going to make it. So,
well, I'm glad you're here.
I am too. And
I always like to do the show with you.
I did not want to miss today's show. There's too much
going on.
There's
too much. Mondays are the worst to miss.
I know. And especially this Monday, because there's so many great things to get to. Obviously, I don't know how much time we want to spend on the Rockets. There's some funny sideline stuff to that we can get to. But my goodness, what a sports weekend. From the Golovkin fight Saturday night, Jones back in the octagon. That Blackhawks Blues game, which game 7 tonight, for those of you who are casually interested, that's must see TV. I mean, just a great weekend all the way around. And then the Brady thing hits today, and it's draft week. Yeah, that's another one. I don't know how much time to spend on that. So, but I got to say, man, I would pay whatever to see Golovkin in a pay-per-view against one of the big dogs. Name your price. I would pay it. I love watching that guy fight. And he doesn't look like much. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he just looks like a little Kazakhstan guy, you know?
He's the best.
But he is amazing to
watch. I love
to
hear him talk. I love his post-fight interviews. So I told my wife, like, after the fight, this is the best part when he talks.
Yeah.
Max, I'm happy for the show for my fan. Oh, he's the best.
And I love that. I love the bit he does almost every fight where he just sort of drops his hands and lets the guy hit him to let him know, you can't hurt me. And he's just laughing at him. He just sat there smiling.
He is the best.
Yeah, so that was cool. But I guess we have to start with your Rockets, which I don't think there's any surprise at all about what happened yesterday. I mean, that was kind of what we thought was going to happen. I think the bigger question now.
They fooled you for a half.
Yeah.
Because I had people tweeting me at halftime saying, oh, I see you're quiet, not talking about the Rockets. And like, I've tried to not tweet the Rockets games as much because it makes people angry with me.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's okay because I don't like the team. I don't like the players on the team. So when they fail, it's kind of funny to me because I've been saying they were going to fail. So I've tried to just leave it alone because I know there's some fans who are loyal to the end, and so I just don't do it. But then when I don't do it and the Rockets play well, they're like, oh, I notice you're on radio silent right now because the Rockets are playing well. It's like, wow, they were tied for a half, and then by the end of the third quarter, there was nothing else positive to say about the Rockets.
I try not to do a lot of in-game tweeting for that very reason. So much can change, especially in basketball. Yeah, 1-15-0 run and the entire game changes. And you know, they hung around for a while, but they're just not good enough, and they're going to get eliminated in the next game, and they're going to have to, you know, live with the one victory. I think the bigger question is, and it looks like at least 2 weeks for Steph Curry now, how that affects the Warriors moving forward, because it obviously isn't going to matter against the Rockets. It might not matter in the next round. It certainly would matter against the Spurs, not having Steph Curry.
No doubt.
And I think that would be that series already going to be very interesting. It'll be a lot more interesting if he's not.
I think he'll be back by then.
You would think so. Although the one thing about him, and he's been remarkably durable early in his career, he had some of this stuff where he's so slight though. You always wonder about a guy like that because first you do an ankle, then you do a knee, and then these things kind of keep happening when you're not 100% and you don't get back. And I just hope it's not something that lingers. I hope it's something that they get fixed and that he doesn't come back with another injury right after that. But as far as the Rockets go, I mean, all the things that Bickerstaff says, that Harden says, that Howard says, don't they just ring hollow?
Kind of.
Yeah, you know, it's just, oh, we have to, you know, we have to put aside ego and we have to put aside this. Well, okay.
That's how you built your team, bro.
But I mean, I give them credit for playing well for a half. How's that?
That's fair.
A lot of people wanting to know when we're going to talk about Game of Thrones. 5:30 today. So I want to give our friends who are still at work a chance to hear about it. But that was the worst thing about yesterday. Well, besides that, not knowing if the wife was going to have surgery or might even croak on me.
Yeah.
That wasn't cool. But the worst part was I didn't get to watch Game of Thrones live. That's all I was looking forward to all day long. It was 8 o'clock. And, of course, I was in the hospital with her until about 11. So I didn't get to watch it until it was almost 3 in the morning by the time I got to watch it. And then I watched it again because I enjoyed it so much. So we'll talk about that. We got a lot of good stuff to get to as well. But it is a Monday, and we want to get you guys involved because, you know, we were out a lot. We've been out a lot lately, so we haven't been able to do the phone lines as much as we'd like. Last week, as a matter of fact, Thursday and Friday we were out.
Yeah.
Next week we're out Thursday and Friday again. This week we're out Thursday. So good day for you to weigh in. If you want to weigh in on your Rockets, anything, 713-780-3776 is your number. And right now I got to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academies and the Houston Cars for Kids program, which is a fantastic program. Basically, all this is you donate a vehicle you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Doesn't matter if it runs. Doesn't matter how long it's been sitting in your garage or in your yard or wherever. Maybe it's just been parked out in front of your house and you want to do something with it. We'll donate it to Houston Cars for Kids. And the cool thing is they're going to come tow it free of charge. Your donation's tax deductible. They do all the paperwork. It's quick and easy. A lot of Blitzers have done it, and they've all said the same thing. They couldn't believe how easy it was. They're going to come and get your vehicle, tow it free of charge, and if you donate today, you're going to get Astros tickets. They're going to give you Astros tickets for donating your vehicle. It's a win-win for everybody because that money goes to help kids at Houston Can Academies, and you've heard me talk about this a lot. These are at-risk kids who are getting a second chance at a place that helps them get through school. They graduate, so many of them, and a lot of these kids had no future without Houston Can Academies. So you can help. It's easy. Just donate your vehicle. Get Astros tickets out of it. Help change a life. Give them a call right now. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hey, Draymond, here's an interesting question. So last year you visited us. Game 3, there's no flood. You win. Game 4, there was flood. You lose. And this year you visit us. Game 3, there's a flood. You win. Game 4, there's no flood. Game three, there's flood. You lose. Game 4, there's no flood. You win.
Brother,
so
you asked me about the flood in practice the other day. You know, and I said I pray for the city of Houston because you don't want to see anyone go through that. I feel like you keep trying to get at like us hitting threes or something, and you're trying to get a controversial statement out of me, but you're not, because I feel sorry for the people of Houston. People are losing their homes, losing their cars, losing their lives, losing loved ones, and you're trying to get a controversial statement out of me about the threes we're hitting. I know what you're getting at, but you're not getting that out of me. It sucks. If I was from Houston, I'd do anything I can to help the city out. And I'm sure some of those guys are going to do what they can to help the city out. And you saw a donation the other night. It sucks. Stop trying to do that. That's not cool, man. You keep asking me the same question about this flood. These people are losing their lives, bro. Losing their homes. Don't ask me that no more. Because it ain't cool. And you're not getting the statement you want out of me. That's not cool, man. Stop doing that.
And Draymond Green. Okay. First off, whenever somebody says, here's an interesting question, and it's their question, it's probably not interesting.
No, it wasn't interesting. It was a terrible
question. It was awful. It really was. And the fact that he'd already asked it once made it even worse.
Yes.
A lot of times, guys will call out questions in press conferences that are legitimate questions. That always pisses me off. But if somebody asks something really stupid like that, you deserve everything you get.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what knucklehead that was? Do we know?
No, but judging from the accent, it's probably an Asian media member.
Well, you know what? A knucklehead should not be allowed to ask questions in a press conference.
No.
Shame.
Are you ashamed of him, John?
Yeah.
Has he brought shame on all your people?
No, not all my people. But when I clicked that video, I was like, please don't be an Asian. Please don't be. And then, of course, you hear the accent.
We're not 100% sure he was Asian.
Well, if anyone knows who that was, please let us know because I want to call him out by name.
Draymond, here's an interesting question. So last year you visited.
That's where I was like, oh no.
That could be.
You win game four. There was flood. You lose.
You lose.
Maybe he's Nigerian.
No. I'm going to go with no.
No.
Play it one more time.
Flood. No, game three, there's flood. You lose. Game four, there's no flood. You win.
Brother,
maybe he's Scottish. Could that be it?
Draymond, here's an interesting question. So last year you visited us. Game three, there's no flood. You win. Game four, there was flood. You lose.
No flood. No flood. That's kind of the dead giveaway. Like that. Maybe you could be like, oh, maybe he's like Russian or Eastern European, but then he says no flood.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, he's definitely Asian. Sorry, Jung.
Double Down says, thanks, guy, for making me side with freaking Draymond Green. And Nick says, I'm pretty sure that was Chris Baldwin.
So great.
Well played, sir. Yeah, I'd like to know who that idiot is and how on earth they have a freaking credential. I'm going to ask that kind of a stupid question. So, Albanian, maybe?
Maybe.
All right, let's grab a phone call. Joe, we'll let you kick things off today. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, what's going on? Good Monday. Sports, fellas.
Sports to you.
Hey, I just wanted to see what y'all thought if during the Texans draft, if Treadwell fell to them at the 22 spot, do you think it'd be smarter for them to take him? Or do you think it'd be better if, like, somebody wanted to move up in the draft and get some extra picks and fall back in the draft? Just want to get your thoughts, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
I've made my stance on it clear. I'm not looking to draft a wide receiver if I'm the Texans. I know everybody else seems to think that it's a priority. I think they've got more pressing concerns. But he is the best wide receiver in the draft. If he falls to 22, you have to strongly consider it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. There's not a lot of receivers that I'm interested in that spot. And I'm hearing a lot of Corey Coleman lately, which, he doesn't do a lot for me. Treadwell, to me, has a chance to be exactly what you already have with DeAndre Hopkins, and two of those is not a bad thing.
No.
Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be that, but if he drops to that point and there's not one of the good offensive linemen there, absolutely. I wouldn't think twice about it. And I could see trading down out of that pick also and trying to pick up a few more, third-round choices that they could screw up again. But, they've got some options here because I don't think they don't have a need other than tight end, and there's not a tight end worth going there. But they don't have a need specifically where you have to say they have to fill this.
Right.
I mean, basically, they've got players. You want to add some. I've said this all along. I think depth on the offensive line and defensive line is probably where I'd like to see them go, even though those aren't sexy picks. But like Ryan Kelly, for instance, the center from Alabama, if he's sitting there, that's not a sexy pick. It's a pretty solid pick.
That's a guy who could help your team.
Yeah, and that's a guy who might even start next year. And if not, then you've added depth in an area of need in your interior offensive line. So, yeah, I know, and fans love to focus on the sexy. They always want the sexy pick, and receivers are sexy. Running backs are sexy. Quarterbacks are extremely sexy. Cornerbacks are sexy. Pass rushers are sexy. Interior offensive linemen, 3-4 are defensive ends.
Yeah.
Middle linebackers, not sexy. But sometimes
helpful.
Yeah, you need them. And I think it's so funny that the Broncos were able to win the Super Bowl last year almost with the exact opposite of what you would think would win a Super Bowl, which was they had great defense, they had terrible quarterback play, at times to mediocre quarterback play, depending on who was in there. Sometimes decent quarterback play. And an awful offensive line. And yet they still won a Super Bowl. But if you can build that offensive line, and I think build from the inside out there, that would be ideal. But I kind of like the fact that I'm not too concerned about what they do there because they've got some options. And they don't have to force themselves into drafting a guy. If all the offensive linemen they want are gone, fine. Wait till the next couple of rounds.
Right.
El Jefe thinks it was John Granato using his Judy Dickinson voice.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. He is pretty slick with that.
Getting a lot of Count Dracula or Count Chocula, depending on who you like. Double Down thinks Latvian.
So maybe it is Eastern Euro, Jong. Maybe your people are off the hook.
I don't know. I'm convinced it's an Asian.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm just trying to make you feel better. I'm pretty sure it is, too, but you never know.
Listen, this guy set us back 5 years.
The best is, it's funny because the Asian basketball media, like when the Yao Ming thing first exploded, it was really kind of awkward to hear them, because they were asking like basic basketball questions that, and they didn't realize that this is the dumbest question to ever ask if you're media for a professional basketball team. But I think you're right. They've kind of worked their way past that.
You all right there? Kind of caught you right in the middle of a thought.
Yeah.
So it's not like I could even jump in and finish it for you.
I'm dying.
Don't die. Don't die. That's terrible. I must be cursed. Everybody around me is like suddenly ill out of nowhere. 334 asks, could position sexiness also translate to physical sexiness? Sometimes. Sometimes those are the best looking guys. We know that about the quarterbacks.
I ate mixed nuts earlier. Always a mistake. I feel like nuts are a healthy snack.
Yeah.
But it never works out for me.
Yeah, you don't sound good. Let's take a phone call and I'll deal with the phone call while you try to survive over there.
I gotta get some water during the break.
Ty, you're on the Blitz, go.
Sports and not sports, guys.
Sports and coughing fits.
So, two-part question. I know you hate him. I apologize. First one, I just want to get y'all's general thoughts on the Game of Thrones season premiere last night. I thought it was pretty decent, not enough killing, and the old boobies were not nice at all. And then second, long shot and kind of a rumor slash fan theory, but what are the odds you think that Daenerys, Tyrion and Jon Snow are the three heads of the dragon, and that Jon Snow will come back as AA. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
We will deal with that at 5:30.
Yeah, it's marked on our calendars to talk Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and you know we'll get into the various fan theories too.
We promise.
But one third of that needs to start breathing again first. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Hopefully, AJ's going to get some water.
Yes.
We'll reload and fire. A lot more to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. He makes the shades a transformer tool.
You'd hate for the kids to think that you lost your cool. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number.
So, when we talked about the Lance Berkman bathroom laws?
Yes.
Thousands of people are signing a pledge to boycott Target over their new transgender bathroom policy. How often do you go to Target and you're like, you know what? I really have to poop.
I don't think I've ever busted a grumpy in a Target.
I mean,
ever.
Most people don't go to the Target with the intention of using the bathroom. That's sort of like an emergency situation, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Which does happen, but I don't go to Target that much anyway. So
my wife goes to Target all the time. I hope she's not pooping there. That'd be scary, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've kind of gotten to where most of the stuff that we buy, we kind of just do through Amazon now.
Yeah, that's usually the way to go.
And, you know, if I need clothes or something, I go to a lot of different places, but I don't ever remember. I haven't been to Target probably in, I don't know, 8 years.
Because you live downtown.
Yeah, there's not one down there, but there was one real close to the place I used to live. I still don't think I ever went in there. It was right next door to a Walmart. I did go in the Walmart.
See, I would rather go in the Target 20 times than going to Walmart once.
Well,
No matter who's going to meat gaze me while I'm using the restroom, I don't care.
I've pretty much gotten to where I never have to go to Walmart again.
Congratulations. That's a good time.
It is. It is. It's worth celebrating. It's only happened once that I went and I needed a bicycle pump and I happened to be around a Walmart.
I never have to go to Walmart in Houston. Sometimes when I go to visit my mom, you know, my mom lives out in Shiner in the middle of nowhere. And Shiner doesn't have a Walmart. I don't even know if Shiner has a grocery store. But they don't have, like, the little towns around them that do have stores. That's the only option.
Right.
They've got a Walmart. So if you want something, you go to Walmart. But I
find those less offensive than the ones.
Oh, they're way less offensive.
Yeah, the ones here,
the worst part is, no matter what time of day it is, no matter how full the store is, there are only three registers open.
Yeah.
Whatever time of day. I mean, it could be Black Friday at 10 a.m., three registers open. If it's Sunday late or early morning, like 2 a.m. Sunday morning, three registers open. Hmm. And one of them is always having some kind of a problem, so they're right. Like they're blinking. So waiting for a manager. The manager's on break always. Yeah.
And if there is a line with 15 items or less, everybody has 22 items.
Yep. Or they just pretend like they only have 15. They go through it anyway.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Some adjustments to the point spreads based on the Brady suspension being reinstated, which I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we haven't. My stance on it has been the same all along. This is a BS story. This is a ridiculous suspension. And I was glad when it got overturned. Now that it's been overturned, you know, reinstated, then I still think it's stupid, but it's going to stay in the courts. It could get overturned again. So there's no reason to get too crazy about it. But the things that interest me is what the lines have changed to
based
on this announcement. Week number one, where they play at Arizona, which might have the most complete roster in the NFL in terms of, because when I was looking at draft stuff, I was looking at a team that, looking at them, I'm like, hey, what do they really need? I mean, they've got some areas that they could use some help, but they could draft whatever they want too. But anyway, Arizona, that game was a pick 'em. It is now Arizona -4.5.
Ooh. That's a swing, man.
Week number two versus Miami at home. New England was a 9-point favorite. Now New England is a 4.5-point favorite.
Okay.
Cut that one in half. Week number three versus
You're saying he's basically worth about 4.5 points in most situations.
Yes. And according to RJ, well, I'll give you some more details on that in a minute. But week three versus your Houston Texans was -7, now -3. And week four, Buffalo was -7.5, now -3. And RJ sent out some stuff on this, and he said, why less than touchdown adjustments in these games? Because ordinarily a quarterback like that is going to be worth 6 points, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Says, reason number one, Belichick has the entire offseason to prepare a backup. Reason number two, Vegas is still not certain Brady will actually miss these games.
No, that's true.
Because of the appeals. So it also hasn't affected the Super Bowl odds at all. They went up one tick from 7-1 to 8-1. So that's the impact your announcement had today.
Okay. I mean, it's big for 4 weeks. But I wouldn't expect Super Bowl odds to change much because, I mean, like you said, they're still favored in three of those four games. The one game that they weren't favored in was a pick 'em, which I'm surprised that it's a pick 'em. I probably would have taken Arizona and given a point or two.
Right.
I don't want to give 4.5. But I probably would have given a point or two.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know that it's going to really change too much as far as actual results. You know, so I think the Super Bowl odds should remain the same. But at 4.5 points, it's a big move for one player.
And some of those numbers, to me, are just were too high to begin with for us not even being into May yet. But that was the one thing that kind of struck me about all those early lines is how big some of them were. Because when you get to the regular season, even if the Patriots are significantly better than the Texans, they're probably inside of a touchdown.
Yeah.
And they were at 9. So let's grab a phone call. David, you were on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports to you guys.
Sports to you.
So my comment about the Steph Curry injury, and as somebody who's played sports his whole life, I can tell you that when you get an injury, you have a tendency to overcompensate, undercompensate. And sure enough, he did exactly that. He sprained his right ankle. Probably was not putting as much weight on it as he normally should, and sprains his right knee. And with an MCL injury, it's likely he's probably out for the rest of the playoffs. Do you guys think any blame lays with Steve Kerr to let him keep playing when they probably could have won the series without him ever coming back out there again until his ankle got healthy? And I don't see him coming back for the rest of the playoffs. What do you guys think?
I mean, I don't know that. I mean, I think it could have happened to anybody. Dude slipped on a sweat puddle.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody's to blame, and you know, I think Steve Kerr leaves it to his guys to let him know, like, hey, my body's here. This is how I feel, which I feel like, you know, that's how professionals should be handled. If your body's ready, you'll let your coach know. If it's not, you let him know. I'm sure the medical staff cleared him, and I mean, it was a sprained ankle. It's not like his foot fell off. He sat out 2 games and said he felt good. He played 20 minutes through the first 3 games of the series. I don't think they were overworking him by any stretch. I think it's a freak thing that could have happened. I don't think he's out for the playoffs. So
no.
I think he's probably going to miss the Clipper series or Blazer series, whoever it ends up being. But I think when it comes down to Warriors Spurs, Steph Curry will be out there.
Says he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So he has a... He underwent an MRI, grade 1 MCL sprain. I don't know enough about sprains to know how bad that is, but he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So, we shall see. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Somebody asked Steph compensating, make Demo fall too. No, it is a fair point. I don't think that's what caused this, though.
I don't either.
I think it was just one of those fluke things. All right. Double down set after his wife's tail and AJ nearly choking to death on air. I think it's pretty clear that Fred must have grazed against Curry's knee.
It's possible.
I think it had something to do with the flood, because where I was, it flooded briefly yesterday. So maybe we should get that guy to ask that question again, because it's an interesting question. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Coming down.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. The HD Show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on Luetta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Funday with the HD Show. Since it's the HD Show, wouldn't it be join Henry Thomas and Fred Davis? Or I'm just curious, because technically, wouldn't this be the DH Show? If it were Davis?
Yeah.
Not to be a stickler or anything. Just was bringing that up. So what the hell's going on with Conor McGregor? We get the tweet that he's still on, and then we hear that he's not. And I don't know. What the hell's happening there?
I don't think anything's changed. He tweeted that he's back on, but Dana White today said that's absolutely not true. So it makes it seem to me like Conor wants back on. I said this all along. Listen, if Conor's not on the card, the UFC probably loses about 30% of the money they would have made. I mean, about 30% of the buys, which is a large amount of money. Make no mistake, that's a lot of people not watching the fights that would have watched it. Conor goes from making whatever he was going to make, which is seven figures, I'm sure, to making zero. Who do you think's more sad? The UFC is still going to make money. People are still going to buy UFC 200.
Well, yeah, especially, you know, depending on who winds up finally being on the card, I'm sure there's going to be some big names.
Yeah.
That people are going to want to see. So, yeah, I guess we'll just see what happens with this. It's turning into a drama, though. Let's grab a quick phone call. Matt, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports.
Sports to you.
So I watched the UFC card and I watched the Gennady Golovkin fight. Wanted to see what you thought of the more entertaining, even though the Gennady Golovkin fight was only two rounds, it was still way more entertaining. Do you think Canelo will bend and fight him, or is there no point of Canelo doing it and just kind of avoid it as long as he can?
Man, I hope Canelo, he's Canelo's mandatory challenger. So Canelo is either going to fight him or move up in weight class or move down in weight class, something. But I'm not 100% sure he's going to fight him. I have some kind of hope because I know Canelo is a fan of fighting. Like, he's one of those guys who he believes in giving his fans a show, and he knows that that's a fight people want to see.
It was weird, though, on the broadcast the other night, Lampley and those guys were making it sound like Canelo wanted no part of it.
I don't think he does. Nobody
and,
does.
Well, nobody I mean, nobody wants to fight the guy, but I think, and hopefully when we're out there next week, we'll talk to some more people and hopefully find out a little bit more about whether or not, and maybe we'll get Oscar and we can ask him directly about it. But I think Canelo Golovkin would be probably the biggest fight of the year. And maybe Ward Kovalev, but I think Canelo has a bigger following than either of those guys. So I'd love to see it, and I think it'd be a great fight. I think Golovkin would win, because I'm not sure that there's anybody that can beat him, but we'll see. We'll definitely ask that question next week, and we'll see if we can.
And there's people saying that Golovkin's ducking Andre Ward now. Andre Ward, who's fought his last couple fights at light heavyweight, Golovkin hasn't even, he's not even the lineal middleweight champion yet. Like, let him clear out his division before he starts moving up to weight classes.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, how that's ducking. But the guy's got to start getting some fights. No offense to Dominic Wade. Dominic Wade didn't belong in the ring.
No, and you could tell 2 minutes, not even that. I think 45 seconds into the fight, after he got popped once, that guy wanted no part of being in there.
The first time he got dropped in the second round, and the ref was like, "Do you want to keep going?" And he said, "Say it again." Yeah. And then he's mumbling and he goes, "Say it again. Tell me you want to go." And finally, I think he realized the camera was on him and he was like, "Yes, I want to keep going." And you know he didn't want to keep going. There's no way he wanted to keep going,
because he knew he was going to get.
He did the thing that guys do when this is a boxer move. When you're knocked down, you stay on your hands and knees until the 10 count, and then you immediately stand up because you know the fight's over, but it looks like you tried to get up.
Yeah.
That's the move. You're not fooling anybody, Dominic Wade. We know why you stayed down.
Yeah.
You knew. Everybody knew.
He didn't want to get hit again.
No, God, no.
469 says, "I'm an orthopedic clinical specialist. MCL has a very good blood supply, and with grade 1 MCL sprain, he'll heal in a week of rest and some physical therapy. Should be able to return in the next series."
MCLs aren't serious.
So,
MCL, yeah. If you don't treat your MCL right, it can lead to further damage, like an ACL. I've learned this from experience. Before my last fight, my MCL was torn. I was like, "Can I fight on it?" The doctor said, "It's probably not a great idea to fight on it." And I was like, "But I can?" He's like, "I would not recommend it, but technically, yes, you can." And sure enough, it was a terrible idea. That's why you should listen to your doctors, kids. But as long as you give it the proper amount of rest, it can heal and get back to normal. And it heals itself.
Did you See this thing that Disco Biscuit sent us?
No.
Female Ted Cruz lookalike agrees to do porn for $10,000.
Yeah.
I guess who would pay to see that unless she went male and acted as Ted Cruz? Then people might pay for it. That is something I do not want to see.
What if
naked.
The Ted Cruz girl is with a Donald Trump lookalike?
Again, not something I want to see, but I got to say that's kinky enough that I might be interested in that.
Eat away.
Yeah, what he said. There's just some people I don't want to see having sex. Ted Cruz is one of them. Ted Cruz lookalike, also one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe if she did a Marco Rubio lookalike.
He's already out.
I know.
No one cares about him anymore.
Bernie.
What's good is this lady can play Ted Cruz in this porno, and then if they do a Munsters porno, she can be Grandpa Munster, too. I think that's pretty good. She's a versatile lady.
What'd you? We didn't get to talk about it too much. What'd you think of the Jones fight? I mean, it seemed to me he obviously got a little rust on him.
Yeah. I think that I don't want to disparage his performance too much, because at the end of the day, he dominated that fight. He just didn't look like John Jones. He didn't look as crisp as he normally does. He said after the fight, his body felt as good as ever, but his mind was just a little bit slow to trigger things. And that happens. That happens every time I've come back from an injury. You're slower. Your mind is slower. Even if your body's in good shape, your mind is slower to remember exactly what to do when this happens. And he admitted it, and he looked it. So I think that it was one of those cases where he's probably lucky that Daniel Cormier got hurt. Because fighting Ovince St. Preux wasn't going to... I mean, John Jones could show up and fight like crap and beat that guy. You can't show up against the best guys. You can't show up against Daniel Cormier or Alex Gustafson and fight like that and win. It just won't happen. So I think it ended up working out the best for Jones.
Yeah, he kind of even hinted at after the fight that, you know, he turns out he needed one.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Hour number one already in the books. We got a lot more to go. Talk a little draft when we come back.
I'm down.
All right. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.